You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Armchair.
There's something, I say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying to
any
stay
idea?
The pump up. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listening is? listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
All right. And I know some of y'all who know your music are probably thinking, Lynyrd Skynyrd's from Jacksonville. Yeah, but the song is Sweet Home Alabama. And that's number three on our list. The Iron Bowl, Alabama versus Auburn, lands at number three on our list. And I think some folks would probably sit there and argue that that's too low. It's the number one rivalry in all of college football. There are some that would argue it's too high. It has rarely meant anything on the national stage, not a consistent year in and year out basis. I think it's just about right because it took everything into consideration. How often does this game really matter? And the overall hatred and rivalry of it, the proximity of it, considering the fact that it is an in-state rival, lifted above several others. And for my money, as far as in-state rivals go, it's the best in all of college football. It's at least the most storied. You can make arguments that others have had more impact on the national stage, but I'm talking about the grand scope of it. It's why it's above Florida State and Florida, because Florida State did not start playing football until 1947, really didn't become a college football powerhouse until the 1980s. So you have to take that into consideration. Granted, since then, the Florida State-Florida game has had more of an impact on the college football landscape year in and year out, especially in the 90s and into the 2000s, and even in the second decade of the 21st century. But we put Alabama-Auburn at number two, the Iron Bowl. The first meeting was 1893. Way back when they used to play these games in February. February 22nd, 1893, Auburn beat Alabama 32-22. Pretty high-scoring game for those days. Now, once again, they wasn't when you're playing college football in 1893, it did not look anything like the scoring system or the sport that it is today. The overall meetings, Alabama leads at 50-37-1, so it hasn't been a hammer and nail. It's been a pretty balanced rivalry. You consider, 88 meetings when we're looking at this, and you're talking about a 13-game disparity, really not that crazy. The largest victory in the series was 1948. Alabama cruised 55-0. The longest win streak in the series was back in the Bear Bryant days from 1973 to 1981. Alabama won 9 games in a row against their arch rival. Now, this rivalry at the very beginning was played, most of the games were played Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. And so in the early 20th century, Birmingham was the leading industrial city in the South, rivaling and only just behind Pittsburgh in the manufacturing of steel, and that is why the Iron Bowl got its name. Auburn head coach Ralph, better known as Shug Jordan, was credited with actually coining the name in 1964 when he was being interviewed by reporters. This is back when bowl games were given out very early. And he was asked by the reporters, was he disappointed that Auburn was not going to a bowl game? Now realize back then, bowl games were actually a medal of honor because you didn't have as many bowl games. You only had about a dozen or so. And his answer back to the reporters was, we already have our bowl game. We have it every year. It's the Iron Bowl in Birmingham. And since then, the name stuck. And everybody has been using that term pretty much going forward. The game has normally, traditionally been played on Thanksgiving weekend. Now, in 1993, the schools agreed to move the game up to the week before Thanksgiving to give themselves a bye for a potential SEC championship game.
But in 2007, the conference voted to disallow any team from having a bye, so it went back to normal. And, you know, that it really is good for college football. I understand the attraction for wanting to have the week before your conference championships off, but for the good of college football, it really lands as a dud. You think about college football, you think as a college football fan, what are some of the things that you look forward to outside of opening weekend, right? It's your rivalries, but also most teams, most schools in college football, they have that big rivalry that they look forward to on Thanksgiving weekend. Even the hammer and nail type rivalries like the Tennessee Vanderbilt rivalries, which they have flip-flopped from year to year. Sometimes Tennessee's played Kentucky, but regardless, it's a familiar foe that you're playing on Thanksgiving weekend. It really lands as a dud if your team is out there not really playing. But I think of Miami, who consistently plays, they'll just give them a random team. More and more, it seems like they've been playing Boston College, but that's not set in stone. But you would have had to be growing up in the early 1980s and well aware of and saw the Doug Flutie game live to even understand why that would even be chosen. So I for one, am glad that college football continues with that tradition. Because as we go to expand into these playoffs, the one thing that we will always have over the National Football League is the tradition, the rivalries. It won't feel the same. I understand that. Alabama and Auburn go into a year where they're both undefeated playing the Iron Bowl. Losing the game won't feel like your season's on the line. It'll still have meaning, but above all, the rivalries will still have bragging rights, and it really does continue to do something for the college game. Now, this Iron Bowl has been one of the most heated rivalries in the country. It's the reason why it ran up to number three on our list. And the two teams, Alabama and Auburn, have typically been some of your better teams in the country. Even on their down years, they're normally not doormats. You're normally not talking about an Auburn or Alabama fan ever going through the tough days that a Vanderbilt fan or a Kentucky fan has been through in their fandom. So because of that, this game is traditionally played at the 3:30 window, the national game on Thanksgiving weekend. There have been a few times I remember growing up where they played this on Black Friday. Still think some big-time college rivalries need to step to that day. I've beat the drum for years that I thought Florida State and Florida should move to it because it's very inconsistent what time of the day this game gets played on Saturdays because it gets overshadowed by the Iron Bowl. And then, of course, Michigan, Ohio State normally kicks you off. The Iron Bowl is normally the 3:30 game. Now, there have been some night games, but usually that takes place because one of the teams is just a doormat. I still think it's a mistake. I think for the television purposes and everything else, they should always have the Iron Bowl at 3:30, just like they should always have Ohio State, Michigan at noon. There's certain games that should stay where they are. It doesn't matter how great of a season they're having. We look forward to those matchups. The Egg Bowl should remain on Thursday nights. It does not matter if the two teams are all of a sudden turn into two national powers and the TV people that be want to start putting that game, you know, on a different date or different time. We're creatures of habit, all humans, and especially college football fans. Now, in 1989, Auburn broke the tradition of the two teams playing on the neutral site and rotating home and home as Auburn chose to move that game, the Iron Bowl, in 1989 to Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Tigers agreed to play one more additional game as a home team in 1991 before moving the games permanently to Jordan-Hare Stadium. And that began what we see now, which is the home and home. I don't dislike the home and home, but I didn't grow up on this rivalry being my rivalry, so there might have been something said for it being played in Birmingham. But I do know Auburn fans always felt like that they were playing a road game in that stadium. I've talked to Auburn fans before, and they said the reason why they wanted it at home was because Birmingham was traditionally Alabama's home for years and years and years, so they never really felt like that they had their home stadium. It wasn't a true neutral site feel like you get in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas or the Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville, Florida. So the contest became an extension of a bitter political debate which took place in the Alabama state legislature regarding the location of a new grand land under the state's application of the Morrill Land Grand Land of 1862. So we're talking about, this goes back to the Civil War. This was well over 20 years before the first game was played. This was during the Civil War Reconstruction era. The state legislature, who was influenced by a heavy contingent of Alabama alumni, pushed to sell the land acquired from the act and any new land holdings held in conjunction with the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. The debate lasted over 4.5 years until Lee County and the city of Auburn won the location of the new university in 1872 after donating more than 100 acres and the remaining buildings and properties of East Alabama Male College, as it was known. And it really became a battle between what is now known as the Democratic and the Republican Party. The Democrats were on the Alabama side, Auburn on the Republican side. They went through a couple of nicknames on both sides, but that's the nuts and bolts of it. Auburn in the 1870s, at the time they were known as the Agriculture and Mechanical College of Alabama, so A&M College of Alabama, received no funds from the state, which is, at the time, they were on the edge of financial collapse. You got to realize this is right after the Civil War. It's during the Reconstruction period. And Auburn, had they collapsed, the University of Alabama could assume the remaining land scripts. The University of Alabama remained closed until 1871 following the Civil War, and it was partially destroyed by Union forces. By 1877, competition between the University of Alabama and what was regularly known as Alabama A&M or Auburn had intensified. And to cut to the chase, Alabama and Auburn played their first game in Lakeview Park in Birmingham, Alabama on February 22nd, 1893. At the time, it was Alabama's final game of the season, and it was Auburn's first game of the season. Once again, back then, there wasn't a lot of structure. Teams were just kind of playing. I think it was almost to the point of pickup games. They would get in contact with other universities, and if they could get the other university to compete, they would meet on said field on whatever date. But a lot of these teams, I mean, they had weeks in between games. They didn't go out and play a structured 10-12 game season with one bye week. It was nothing like that at the time. So let's go ahead and get into some of the more notable things about this rivalry. In 1904, Auburn coach Mike Donahue beat Alabama in his first season, and it was the purpose of his hiring. He was brought in to end what was a one-game losing streak. Very beginning of this rivalry, Auburn dominated from 1893 to 1904. Alabama had just two wins. After Donahue got that win in 04, Alabama would win three of the next four games. And actually, they would win every game from 1905 to 1953, except for one loss to Auburn in 1949 and one tie in 1907. Now, realize they did not play from 1907 to 1948. Now, the reason why you had the long hiatus really came off of those land grant rights. There was the argument between that. There were issues about player per diems and officiating as well. But one constant was Mike Donahue, the head coach of the football team at Auburn, that also coached the basketball team during the same time. He just wasn't having it. It was a really intense hatred on both sides. But it resumes in 1948, Auburn losing to Alabama at Legion Field in the game we referenced earlier, 55-0, which still is the largest victory in the history of the rivalry. After that game in 1948, Auburn and Alabama rivalry was renewed. The first Iron Bowl broadcast on national television was 1964. Alabama's Joe Namath led Alabama to victory 21-14 over Auburn. In 1967, Bama beats Auburn in a rainstorm behind Kenny Stabler's 47-yard, infamously known as the run in the mud, the game's only touchdown, which took place in the fourth quarter. In 72, Auburn blocks two punts and returned both for touchdowns, leading to a 17-16 win over Alabama, and it started a chant, a phrase for several years, known as Punt Bama Punt. After that is when Alabama will go on to beat Auburn, Bear Bryant and company, over the next 9 years. And Auburn fans referred that to as the Reign of Terror. In 1981, Bear Bryant, during that streak, got his 315th career win over Auburn and passed Amos Alonzo Stagg to become the all-time winningest college football coach at the time, of course, later on passed by Bobby Bowden. 1984, the famous Wrong Way Bow game. Going forward on fourth and goal, trailing 17-15 late in the game. And you still got to go back and say, why in the hell didn't you kick the field goal? But fourth and goal from the 1 yard line late in the game. And this was long before the passing game was the way it is today. Most coaches would have kicked the field goal. But anyways, they go for it, and the pitch is to running back Brent Fullwood. Their other tailback, Bo Jackson, I think some of y'all have heard of him, was supposed to block for Fullwood, but he ran in the wrong direction, and he allowed the Alabama defense to swallow up Fullwood, and hence the nickname of the game, Wrong Way Bo. Of course, this is long before the Bo Nose thing that was created by the shoe brand. I'm sure they would have had some fun with that. Bo don't know left from right. Anyways, 1985, another great game. Alabama beat Auburn 25-23 on a 52-yard field goal as time expired. That game is often referred to as the kick. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale's Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. All right, let's get back into it. The Iron Bowl. So we dive back into it, and 1993 is the scene. Number 6 Auburn beats number 11 Alabama. Remember, at the time, they were defending national champions. To finish the season 11-0. Now, this is the famous Tommy Bowden season. The game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, or as I think they prefer to call it, Jordan-Hare. It's always hard for me to pronounce Jordan-Hare versus Jordan-Hare because of Michael Jordan. Ironically, that is actually my grandmother's maiden name, Jordan. But I never knew her as Grandma Jordan. I knew her as Grandma McGee, so that was, you know, that kind of goes in one ear out the other. It is ironic that I'll always slip at that. But the game was not televised due to the Auburn's probation, so it was only showed on closed-circuit television and, of course, replays. The same thing that went on down here in the state of Florida when the University of Florida got their sanctions and darn near got the death penalty. But that was a big game for Auburn to get that win. In 1997, Alabama fullback Ed Sism fumbles a screen pass that would have given the underdog Crimson Tide a game-sealing touchdown. Instead, Auburn kicker Jared Holmes converts a go-ahead 39-yard field goal, and Alabama's has one last chance from 57 yards as it fell short to give Auburn the SEC West Division title. And Auburn radio announcer Jim Fife famously uttered after the go-ahead field goal that ends up being the winning field goal, his famous call was long enough, high enough, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Of course, that becomes quite the battle cry for the Auburn Tigers as they win that game. In 2000, Alabama would play their first Iron Bowl in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and the first played in Tuscaloosa since 1901. They had been hosting Auburn in Birmingham the whole time Auburn was going back and forth between Jordan-Hare and Alabama's turn. And Alabama's turn was taking place in Birmingham, and now they moved the venue to Tuscaloosa. And the reason being for that, at the time, Bryant-Denny Stadium, which opened back in 1929, it just didn't seat as many folks as the stadium in Birmingham at Legion Field. So they had upgrades, and now they're playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Auburn kicked 3 field goals in that game, and a bit of a snore fest as it would be Mike DeBose's last game as Alabama head coach, and Auburn will win that game 9-0. Flash forward to 2010, Auburn, number two in the country, beats Alabama 28-27 in Tuscaloosa, and this is after a 24-0 deficit, the largest comeback in the series history. Heisman Trophy winner Cam Newton would lead the charge, and it would be known as the Camback, and that would send Auburn to play Oregon and win their second national title. Now, those can be debated, but for all intents and purposes, it was their first national title. You got to realize the two that they've claimed before that, one was in 1913, back when they were giving out like a dozen national titles at the time, depending on what region of the country you were playing football in, depending on what newspaper gave you a national title. And then the other one that they claimed in 1983 is not legitimate. Miami Hurricanes won that national title through the actual polling system. You may ask why they claimed it. Well, they were ranked number three in the country, and they beat number eight Michigan in the Sugar Bowl, 9-7. I mean, an absolute snore fest. And they decided that they were the national champions. Now, in previous years, they had actually, believe this or not, but the AP poll and the UPI poll, they would release their national champion before the bowl games. They were usually released in very early December. So that's why they were claiming that national championship, though it was not given to them by one of the major polls. Both of the major polls elected University of Miami, who beat number one Nebraska for the national championship. And those two teams were undefeated. But anyways, back to the actual Iron Bowl. The next big game in this rivalry, 2013, and who doesn't remember this one? Famously known as the Kick Six. Number four Auburn defeated number one Alabama, 34-28 with 1 second remaining. The game was tied 28-28, and Alabama's freshman kicker, Adam Griffith, who realistically should not have been sent out there by Nick Saban, attempted a 57-yard potential game-winning field goal. The kick falls short, and Auburn defensive back Chris Davis catches the ball in the back of the end zone, returns it 109 yards down the sidelines as time expired. And, of course, it would be famously known as the Kick Six. It would win the ESPY Award for the best game of the year, the best play of the year. And it would send Auburn out to the national title game to face Florida State, where they would fall short, but they prevented Alabama from playing in that national title game. Now, I can tell you as a Florida State fan, I was disappointed. And the reason being, Florida State was the best team in the country that year, and we really wanted to play Alabama because we wanted to shut everybody up, because you realize Alabama had just won the national championship, and you just really wanted to stick it to them. But you end up playing Auburn, and honestly, I think Alabama was probably the more talented team, but I think that year Gus Malzahn had came up with a scheme with his offense that made Auburn very difficult to prepare for and defend. That's why Auburn jumped out to the early lead in that national title game, and eventually Florida State caught up and they shut him down and outplayed Auburn. We'll say midway through the second quarter all the way to the end. They outscored Auburn heavily in that game, but had fallen down behind early in that game. And I can remember going, my God, they can't find an answer. And then the defense step up. They put the screws on them, and the rest is history as Jameis Winston lit up the scoreboard. But back to the Iron Bowl. The following year after the Kick Six, number one Alabama beats number 15 Auburn 55-44 in the highest scoring Iron Bowl ever. I remember that game like it was yesterday because it was unbelievable. You never had the sense that Alabama was going to lose that game, but you definitely didn't want to turn it off. Like, it was just back and forth, back and forth. And, of course, that's the same year that the third-string quarterback for Ohio State would end up pounding Alabama in the playoffs. And I remember going to the playoffs and everyone just assumed Alabama was going to win that game. And I kept thinking, I don't know. Their defense has been kind of a sieve. We saw that in the Auburn game, and sure enough, that's what we saw in the playoff. 2018, number one Alabama beats Auburn 52-21, and Tua passed for 5 touchdowns and ran for 1, scoring 6 touchdowns. It would be the first time an Alabama player would account for 6 touchdowns in a single game. Not just the Iron Bowl, but the single game. 2019, it was an old-fashioned shootout. Auburn beat Alabama 48-45, and it was a seesaw battle, back and forth, Tua versus Auburn. Eventually, Mac Jones would be asked to step in against the Tigers. Anyways, it went back and forth and back and forth. They would give Auburn would give Alabama their second loss of the season. And then, of course, 2021, Alabama beats unranked Auburn 24-22 in a 4 overtime game. And then 2023, the famous Jalen Milroe wing and a prayer. I think it's become known as the Gravedigger game, but it was 4th and 31, and they needed a miracle to beat unranked Auburn 27-24. And, of course, that added to when they came out and they gave Alabama the playoff nod, which they obviously didn't deserve. We saw that once they got manhandled by Michigan in the playoffs. But that added to the frustration by most level-headed fans in the country that basically said Alabama struggled to beat. And Auburn fans would tell you that was a bad Auburn team. But nonetheless, it was a great game, regardless of the caliber of the teams in 2023, and ended up being a very entertaining game. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com. Use promo code LISTEN for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, promo code LISTEN.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Chris Davis is going to drop back into the end zone in single safety. So I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl.
And there was that famous clip of the kick six. I just felt like we had, it's still one of the greatest college football radio calls. And even if you're an Alabama fan, I do apologize putting you through that. But it just really is one of the truly great college football calls in the history. I mean, they've got a great one. I won't play it today, but they've got a great one when they beat Florida. I guess the narrative coming in was that they weren't going to have a chance to win. They were, I don't know if they were big underdogs or slight underdogs. I wasn't doing a lot of football betting back in the early 90s, so I don't really remember. But the famous line is they're talking about how they drain the swamp and how they hope everyone at ESPN never picks Auburn to win another football game, because I think they were at the game. I think that's how that played out. And Lee Corso probably put on a Florida head, or you know, whatever he was doing at the time. I don't know if it goes back that far. But whatever it went down, they were taking it personally. And I guess they were being told they had no chance of winning the game. And they beat Florida. And this was back in the Spurrier days when that was a really big deal. So Auburn's had some really great radio calls over the years. And Honest Engine, Alabama's known for their great radio. Is it Eli Gold? So I've always followed what both have done, because me being just a radio broadcast guy and just really appreciate the guys that are really great at this. I love the college. I don't do a lot of college football games because I like to enjoy it as a fan. And it's a sport that we're probably going to add a few games to the repertoire, to the schedule this year, but we've traditionally only done one or two college football games every year, and we'll do an NFL one here and there, but I'm a radio baseball guy. I just, to me, that's where my heart is. But there's some great college football ones, and you really can't think of great college football radio without thinking about, first of all, the South, but then also thinking about Auburn and Alabama. They've both had great, just incredible, not just broadcast teams, but incredible moments where you think back and you really do, or at least I do. I think fondly of those moments, even if I'm not a fan of either team. If you hear a really just a classic radio call, it really is just unbelievably fun to digest it. And I think as far as college sports go, college football is it when it comes to radio. It's not that you can't get a good basketball or baseball broadcast, but it doesn't. I can't think of a lot of them over the years that have stuck. And look, let's be honest. The reason why it is so is because along with Major League Baseball, along with the NFL, college football is, for my money, just as exciting and just as filled with history as either one of those sports. And the emotion gets into the broadcasts. And I think the other great thing about especially the radio broadcasts, is that along with Major League Baseball, college football, fans prefer to listen to their team through the lens of their broadcast team. NFL, a lot of fans don't have, I guarantee you can't ask most NFL fans about their favorite team and ask them who the radio announcer is. They probably don't know. Not many of them consume it. Now, I personally have been a Titans fan for years, and I've listened to Titans radio a lot. But one of the reasons why is because when they were first coming up in the early 2000s, mid-2001, I traveled a lot. and I would be on the road, and if I could pick up Keith on radio, first of all, he does a fantastic job. The other great thing about him is, you know, he paints the picture and whatnot, but I would get into it, and then, but I mean, I would be lying if I said that I synced it up every single Sunday. I do tend to sync up the college games a lot more. I don't do it with Florida State as much because Gene Deckerhoff no longer does their games. He's getting much older, and he still does some Bucks games, but he retired from Florida State. So the new Florida State radio team, I'm not going to bash them, but it just doesn't have the same feel. But I did listen to a couple of the last games syncing it up. And I can tell you this. If you got a good broadcast coming out of your school, so we'll just talk college football, but, you know, radio, NFL, whatever. If you've got a good broadcaster, I highly recommend syncing it up. It's just, it's a better feel. It's just, it's everything. It's everything to me. And you get so much more. You don't just get a better picture painted, but you tend to learn a hell of a lot more about your team because of it. So anyways, there you have that. Let's go ahead and put a pin in this one. So, look, it's the number three team, or the number three rivalry, for many reasons. Now, I'm going to give you a quick breakdown of the overall numbers. First of all, in Birmingham, games played in Birmingham. That dates back all the way to 1893. Alabama leads the all-time series 34-18. Should be noted, games played in Auburn. It began in 1989 and then resumed in 1993 until present day. Auburn owns that series 10-7. What about Tuscaloosa? They started playing there. They do have couple of games played in 1895 and 2001, or excuse me, 1901, but 2000 to the present, including those games. The Tuscaloosa games, you're talking about 14 matchups, and it is dead even at 7 apiece. And four games, 1893, 1894, 1900, 1903, four of the games were played in Montgomery, and that is also even at 2 apiece. So if you take it out of the lens, essentially outside the Birmingham games, Auburn actually leads the series by three games. They have a three-game lead of the games played in Auburn. They're dead even in Tuscaloosa, dead even in Montgomery. But they have played several more games in Birmingham, and that's where the disparity is in the overall rivalry. Now, as far as the head coach, you know, let's talk about this for a second. The head coaches that's been in this rivalry. Been waiting to put this at the end because I think this is a great way to leave it. Listen to some of the names that coached in this rivalry. We'll start with Alabama, obviously. Nick Saban, Gene Stallings. By the way, Nick Saban was 12-5. Gene Stallings was 5-2. Want to know why Bill Curry got his ass fired? He was 0-3. You don't go 0-3 in Alabama versus Auburn. Ray Perkins was the knucklehead that went for the in the 84 game that essentially lost that game. He went 2-2, but I remember when he lost that game, there was talk then about how long is he going to last. I was actually surprised that Perkins lasted as long as he did, to be honest with you. He went from 83 to 86. He went 2-2 in the series. That was the guy that they fired and were interviewing Bobby Bowden to come from Tallahassee. It's really crazy that twice in my lifetime, I had assumed, even though I was hoping against hope, I had assumed that the Florida State head coach was leaving to go to Alabama. And two times I've been shocked. The most recent, obviously, was Mike Norvell. No matter what people try to tell you, they were trying to woo him. But Mike Norvell got locked up to the big contract that he is now in Hassie, and he'll be there for the foreseeable future. And then the other time was back at the end of the 86 season, heading into 87. And it's funny, this is right before Bobby Bowden really put Florida State on the map. He went on that run of 14 consecutive top four finishes in the AP poll that I don't think will ever be beaten. He started that in 1987, the year after I'm referring to. Had they stolen him away, had Alabama talked him into it, I don't know if Florida State ever gets a national title. Because Bowden wins two of them, and the third one was coming off the heels of Bowden, where Jimbo essentially inherited Bowden's players. Not taking anything away from Jimbo, he accomplished what he accomplished, but let's be honest, is Jimbo Fisher even at Florida State in 2013 if it wasn't for Bowden? Bowden would go on that run, and of course, 2023 will always have the asterisk to it, because though Florida State got ran out of the building in the bowl game, there was 31 opt-outs in that game, including 14, you can argue 15 starters. So that was basically the JV squad. The 2023 team, for folks who don't know it, they're always referred to in Hassie as 13-0, because they don't count, and rightfully so, they just don't count the random exhibition game. But back to what I was referring to, it shocked me both times, because you know how much power and how much money Alabama has. And I think Norvell didn't want to be in the shadow of Nick Saban, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Bowden was not in that same conversation. There was a head coach in between Bear Bryant and what would have been Bowden. And he was an Alabama guy from Alabama, coached under Bear Bryant. But for folks who aren't familiar with why he turned that down, there was two main reasons. A, he didn't like the fact that he had to interview for it. He felt like that when he went up there to talk to them in Tuscaloosa, he felt like he was being put through a grueling interview process, and essentially told him thanks but no thanks. I've built what I built in Tallahassee on my own back, my own sweat. I don't have to prove anything to you. So I think it was more of a, you know, take your job and shove it kind of moment. The other thing was, I think he really liked the idea of being the guy. Look, he will always be the guy in Tallahassee. He'll always be known as the guy that paved the way. No matter what Nick Saban ever did, he was never going to be Bear Bryant or anybody else that follows. Bear Bryant's always going to cast that shadow. Now, in this century, they'll eventually forget what Bear Bryant did. I'm talking about 30, 40 years down the road when all of us start passing away, and the Nick Saban shadow will be real. But that's just the way it goes. And so you look at this rivalry. We talk about Stallings and Saban. I think Stallings was a phenomenal coach. And I really felt like, now look, he was up there in years and he finally got his chance, but I also felt like that job aged him. Bear Bryant. We talk about him. We always refer to him. But there were some other great coaches along the way, though we all know that Bear Bryant was the one that really put Alabama on the map. The other guy that stands out to you in that rivalry with Alabama is Harold Drew. From 1947 to 1954, he won 5 of 7. Wasn't really until Bear Bryant showed up there in 58 that he made his own mark and kind of turned Alabama into the national power. That's why it's laughable when you see a lot of these national championships that are referenced before Bear Bryant showed up. Because, I mean, literally, there was one in the 1930s that Alabama claims where they had like 3 or 4 losses. I mean, their entire, whatever you see on the back of someone's pickup truck that says they have 18 or 28 or 352 national championships, realize the majority of them were phony national championships. The real ones came in the Bear Bryant days. As far as Auburn is concerned, I still think Gus Malzahn got a little bit of a tough rap. He went 3-5 against Nick Saban. That's pretty darn good. Tommy Tuberville coached 10 years and went 7-3, but realized that was during a very down cycle for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama was a footnote in college football during that time period. Terry Bowden coached there from 93 to 98, and Terry really put Auburn on the map with that undefeated season. The problem was they were on probation. How crazy would that have been had they not been on probation, and he most likely would have faced his dad in the national title game that year. We don't get the Bowden Bowl till a couple years after Terry leaves. I think it was actually the year after when Tommy takes over Clemson. I was at that first Bowden Bowl in Tallahassee. Wild atmosphere. Pat Dye, for 12 years, roamed the sidelines. Hey, he went toe-to-toe. He went 6-6. Now, granted, only a couple of those games were against the Bear, and that was at the end of his career, but pretty good. Of course, Ralph Jordan, as everyone called him, Shug, coached at Auburn for 25 years, but he only won 9 games, was 9-16. And then, of course, you got the big gaps in this rivalry because they didn't play for 40 years. But there you have the Iron Bowl, number 3 on the list, and I'll stand on that. I don't think it should be any higher than 2-1 that we have coming for you. I don't think it should be any lower. It's above Florida State, Florida, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, the Egg Bowl, all the ones that we've mentioned so far. But one of the things that takes it down a notch is because it had that big gap. Don't worry, Bama fans. We got you covered today as well. We played the kick 6. Here's Eli Gold with the 4th-and-31 prayer. Y'all have a good one.
4th-and-goal from the 31-yard line. Here's the snap. Milroe stands in, lets everybody get downfield. Still standing. He throws into the end zone.
He caught it.
It's caught. It's caught by Isaiah Bond. Caught by Isaiah Bond in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Alabama. The Crimson Tide with 32 seconds to go in the ball game. Throwing a Hail Mary into the corner of the end zone. And Isaiah Bond.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves Baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.